Carpenter is going to be here. I haven't heard from her in a while, but that's okay. She'll get back with us here sooner or later, especially when things start moving along. Baseball. However, it is football time, and it is NFL time. It's Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio, coming to you live here on a Friday morning. Good morning, everybody. As we get started, hey, folks, some good stuff happening over on the Couch Potato Sports Show. Make sure you head on over there because we are going to be your football fix. Because guess what? At the end of February, at February 3rd is when you are, and actually even before that, but we're not going to do anything before then, but after February 3rd, starting on February 21st, we're going to start bringing you indoor football here on, well, not here, but on my show, the Couch Potato Sports Show, getting you through training camp. So make sure you head on over to the Couch Potato Sports Show for Texas Revolution Indoor Football, as well as the IFL, as well as the Lone Star League, working on some semi-pro, but I can't seem to get anybody to give me a call back. Not sure what that's all about. However, we're working on that as well. The Lingerie Football League is also going to be part of what we're doing. Also, during that stint, for those who love baseball, we're going to bring Rowlett High School Baseball to the Couch Potato Sports Show. And also, starting on January 2nd, the Rowlett Eagles basketball team here from Rowlett, Texas. We're going to be doing the broadcast for the school so people at the school can hear. I've been in contact with the school, so we're going to start those basketball calls as well as baseball when they start kicking in baseball. And they start kicking in baseball around February and March. So just wanted to let you know, make sure you get on over to the Couch Potato Sports Show. Also for Saturday and Sunday's show, we may not have Cuervo. He may or may not be on the road. He may be on the road as on one day listening to shows all day. So we may just set up shows so we can talk to Cuervo to escape some time for him and talk some sports there, so watch for Cuervo. But we are on this morning on the MDB Media Sports Channel, as we are, you know, almost regularly. Sometimes work calls and I can't make it, and Andrea, if she can't make it, I don't know if she does the show when I don't. But however, we're normally here. We're bringing it to you here on a Friday morning. Lots of things going on in the sporting world, as we know. But here, let me just start this off, because I hear something stupid, you know, almost every day when it comes to sports. And I guess I am one of these guys that could be considered a pessimist. But I'm just tired of stupidity, especially when it comes to sports. And what I'm going to say is not a very popular belief. It's just, I think that God and religion have no place in baseball, in sports, more so. Because I think, and maybe it's me, I just think God wants everybody to be on their talent level and leave it at that. I don't think God, you know, gives LeBron James more talent than another person. I don't think that has anything to do with God. Now, that having been said, it's not a very popular belief, but I'm not a big lover of people who fall back up on that, I guess. So, you know, for those who do it, great. If not, you know, we'll just keep it the same. But let's do this. Let's head on. Let's talk a little baseball, because there's lots of baseball news that happened. So let's start with the Rangers. The Texas Rangers go ahead and they signed free agent AJ Pierzynski. They agreed to terms of a 1-year contract deal. He has to pass a physical today. AJ Pierzynski, 278 career high, 27 home runs, 18 doubles, and 77 RBIs in 135 games for the Sox last year. 35 years old, he's definitely a veteran, and I'm just not a fan of this guy. And I don't know what it is, but it's just him. But as far as a player, this guy's not too bad. He's played for the Twins, Giants, Sox since 98. He holds a 284 average and 155 homers and 730 RBIs throughout his 1,629 game career. It's impressive for a catcher. I mean, I don't hold a lot of meat to the catchers. More so, you know, I don't expect catchers to hit 330, 335. But if you've got a guy that can maybe hit around 280, you've got somebody who can be of value to your team. And AJ Pierzynski is bringing back. And let's be honest, the Rangers are in a lot of trouble. They lose a couple of real big players. I mean, Michael Young, yes, they lose a big contract. That one, I think the Rangers could have lived off of. Losing Josh Hamilton, the way they lost Josh Hamilton, I think is one of the interesting things about Rangers baseball. I mean, Josh Hamilton should be really, you know, on his knees thanking the Rangers for what they did, because I don't know if there's a lot of teams that would have put up with his BS for as long as the Rangers did. And the Rangers were okay with doing that some more. So they go ahead and they bring in AJ Pierzynski. I'm not saying this guy's a bat. I'm not saying this guy's a name, but at least they got some solid catching that can happen for them during the season. They still got to make up for the two losses. You can say what you want about Michael Young. You can say what you want about Josh Hamilton. Both of them are a pretty big loss for this team. Michael Young may have been the most overpriced utility player, but the guy could play first, second, third, or third, and even go into the outfield and give you a halfway decent bat. They lost that. Josh Hamilton, if anybody knows anything about baseball, Josh Hamilton's a loss. Simple loss for this football team. So with them not making the World Series for a third time in a row, they need to regroup and try to find out something that will help them get back to the World Series. Chicago Cubs, they go ahead and they sign Edwin Jackson. I don't know, 4 years, $52 million contract, physical that's going to be happening, but a lot of money for this guy. And this guy, I'll just put it out there, he's not even an average pitcher. 70 and 71 for 0.4 ERA, 31 starts last year. He went 10-11, 4.03 ERA. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, that's a lot of money to be wasting on your average. I mean, and I'm talking average pitcher. The Cubs, they lost to the Tigers last week. For Sanchez, who re-signed for 5 years for $80 million. So since they lost that, they go after Edwin Jackson. You know, if Cubs fans ought to be a little bit angry. I mean, they're just going to sit there and wallow in mediocrity. I can see why they're PO'd all the time. Cubs fans, they are not doing anything to make that whole situation better in Chicago. They grab up, I guess if you want to call him the GM, you know, genius, that is Theo Epstein. But I'm telling you right now, as I look at the Cubs, I am not looking at a team where I'm going, whoa, you got to worry about the Cubs. Need to get in there and start moving and grabbing up some players. Over in Miami, the Marlins go ahead and sign third baseman Palacio Polanco to a one-year contract, and that is because the Philadelphia Phillies grab up Michael Young from the Rangers to play third base. And Polanco only played 90 games last season because of some injuries and things like that. He missed time because of, back, knee, and ankle, and he had some wrist problems as well, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, this guy's a good player. I don't want to put it on them, but the reason why he's moving on is because they bring in Michael Young. Now, Michael Young is no youngster, but that's the reason why they get rid of him. So he moves on, and the Marlins go ahead and grab him up. And I don't know if that's going to help the Marlins. You know, I don't know how that really fits in. Gives them a solid third baseman, but not your standout guy that says, you know, we got to have this guy. But, you know, that's what this period's all about. You're going to see a lot of average players being added onto more teams out there. The big names are going to start rolling here soon. So, but the mediocrity is what kind of bothers me when I think about it. Milwaukee Brewers went ahead and they have signed Tom Grazalny, and I never say the guy's name right, so that's about as best as you get. But one thing I do know, this left-hander, he's 30 years old, 45 games for the Nationals in 2000. He went 4-2 and a 2.88. This guy is not the worst pitcher in the world. This is a good pickup for the Brewers. Now, with the NL Central being what it is, this is not a bad move. .44 and .45, 4.41 ERA in 193 games. This is just what I'll say, okay? Those numbers, they're pedestrian, but last year he started to show that he's pretty good out of the bullpen. That part is going to be really interesting to see how the Brewers work with that guy and move it on. Back to the Phillies, I missed this one. Mike Adams, 2 years, $12 million contract. There's a club option for 2015. Adams was 5-3 with a 3.27 earned run average last year, 61 appearances for the Rangers. The problem with him is he underwent surgery in October, and that's probably one of the reasons why the Rangers did not want to move on this guy. Kind of a setup guy there for Jonathan Papelbon, if I'm not mistaken, over there, depending on how that whole situation, depending on how much they love they got for Jonathan Papelbon. Since 2008, this guy, 1.98 ERA in 295 innings for San Diego and Texas, so when he plays. That's not a bad deal for that baseball team whatsoever. Like that move. And there's a lot more movements and the Yankees that they'll ever be, always be known to me as. The New York Yankees re-signed Ichiro Suzuki, to a 2-year contract. Deal's worth $13 million, and they got him from Seattle on July 23rd when they were visiting the Seattle Mariners. Thought that was quite funny. This is a guy, you know, and one thing scorekeeper hates is for someone to say he's a future Hall of Famer, but sometimes you just got to just look at it and say, you know what, you're probably right. Ichiro Suzuki, a Hall of Famer, ready to rock and roll. And, you know, I like this move for the Yankees. In reality, 2 years, $12 million. That's it, folks, okay? $6 million, that's a bargain. That is a big, big problem. That's big. I like it. All right, let's head on over to some NFL news where the Dallas Cowboys are getting some production out of DeMarco Murray. And, folks, believe me, this is part of the reason why the Dallas Cowboys has been, and I say part because he's only been back for 2 games, okay? Dallas Cowboys have won 4 or 5, and I'm not saying they're good, and I'm not even saying they're going to beat the Saints this Sunday. But if they're going to, it's going to have to have a lot to do with DeMarco Murray in the lineup, without question. I think if the Dallas Cowboys get in a shootout with the Saints, seeing what the Saints did last week, they might be in a little bit of trouble. Dallas Cowboys win the final 2 games. They win the NFC East, and they'll make the playoffs. And, my gosh, all hail will be to Jason Garrett. And I'm still on the bandwagon of this is not the right coach for this football team. And I'll keep saying it as well. I don't know if they're going to get over the hump. I don't know if they're going to ever be anything that's going to be huge. But without DeMarco Murray, they need DeMarco Murray in order for any kind of success to head toward Dallas. I'm just not a Jason Garrett fan. Haven't been a fan of this guy. I don't know if I ever will be. Because everybody says he's some kind of genius. And frankly, the first part of the season had made people and this football team question whether or not that he should be the head coach of this football team. Dallas Cowboys have got a lot of huge problems, but they are doing it. I mean, they got some no-names, I mean, that have come off of the street almost literally and are playing for the Dallas Cowboys every day. And they are making a difference. And I find that very, very interesting about how that has come around. And I say this mainly because there's a lot of things going on as far as the Dallas Cowboys going in. I mean, like I said, five of the last six, they get victories. So the Dallas Cowboys, they either can make it hard or make it easy. And yes, I'm talking about the playoffs here, okay? And just imagine if the Giants did not keep going in that lull that they are. They've stayed in that lull. They'll win one here, win one there after the lull that happens instead of going on that winning streak like they normally do. We're not seeing that out of the Giants. But if it wasn't for that, we probably wouldn't be talking about the Dallas Cowboys and playoffs in the same sentence. However, depending on the situation, the wild card's going to be huge. But here's the situation when you think about the Dallas Cowboys. They've won five of six. Okay? When was the last time that they've won seven of eight? And that's what they need to do. I just don't see that being from this football team. They lose Sunday. They're not mathematically eliminated. They need some different kind of win losses here and there. So to make it easy on themselves, they need to win this game and win against Washington. I don't know. We're in week 16. And all you got to do is look at last year in week 17. Where the Dallas Cowboys take on the Giants and the Giants win, go on, win Super Bowl. Fourth, getting down to the nitty-gritty of the season, then the Dallas Cowboys don't need to be that kind of team, but they are. So there's also five other teams in the NFC with an 8-6 record. And then the Seattle Seahawks are at 9-5. So the Cowboy fans can only hope for a wild card if they don't win that division. And I'll take this back to week four, folks. I'll take this back to week four when I'm talking the Dallas Cowboys. I said in week four that they needed to win this game. That would be the game that would bite them in the butt if they don't make the playoffs by winning the division. And that is just what it is. The Chicago Bears, and that'll be all dependent on whether or not this team could put it together as well, the Chicago Bears. And for the last two games, they've been putrid at best. Ask my co-host Cuervo, who is a big, big Chicago Bear fan. We're not seeing the Chicago Bears that we should see. But again, five teams within the NFC with an 8-6 record. One at 9-5. They need to win this division because, man, there are a lot of teams that are right now sitting at that mark at 8-6 that are better than Dallas Cowboys. They just are. Win the final two games are going to be tough against the Saints and the Redskins, just the way it is. And the schedule plays perfect to Dallas every single year. And I say this because every single year in Dallas, as far as December is concerned, that schedule, it comes out to be something huge for them to overcome towards the end of the season. That schedule didn't help the Dallas Cowboys at all. So you got to stick with those cliches. You know, you got to take them one game at a time, and they do. They get this win, great. They get the next win, great. They're in the playoffs. If they lose one of those two, they got to hope for something to happen on other teams. 6-1. They're going to have to go 6-1 in order for them to. I just don't see it. So, Cowboy fans still have a lot to worry about as far as that game. The Saints, I'm worried about this game. If you're a Cowboys fan, I'm worried about this game. Huge. It's going to be really huge for this team. Some more hits there. Brandon Carr named the NFC Defensive Player of the Year for your Cowboys. How about Jason Witten? Jason Witten is about ready to break Tony Gonzalez's record. And right now, as of now, he has 97 catches. He needs 6 more passes in the final 2 games to pass Tony Gonzalez. This guy's not in the Pro Bowl starting for the NFC. I don't know who should be, as far as that is concerned. And Dallas Cowboy fans, you know, Pro Bowl talk, you know, Jason Witten is one of them. Dez Bryant, probably yet another one. Too many good quarterbacks for Tony Romo to be a Pro Bowler. Now, I wish they had a vote for injured players because I would give one to Sean Lee. I mean, I think a lot of this thing has to do, you sit there and say, you know, Sean Lee has a lot to do with the Dallas Cowboys. And he really does. And they should be happy and look forward to have him next year because let's just face it. Next year, if they get Sean Lee healthy and Jason Hatcher healthy, that may be a really, really positive outlook next year. And the deal with Josh Brent on the sideline, the NFL and the Dallas Cowboys got together and say no more. And it was only a matter of time for that whole thing to happen anyway. When I saw him on the sidelines, I was just like, we won't see him next year. There'll be too much outcry. As it is, I don't even know how. Hell, I can't even get media credentials, okay? It would have been very easy to stop Josh Brent from getting on there. So I'm not buying the fact that the Dallas Cowboys didn't know that he was there. I'm just not buying it. They can say, oh, we didn't know. I don't buy it for 1 second. Dallas Cowboys know who is on the field, when they're on the field, why they're on the field at all times, believe me. But that defense, man, you're talking about some guys. Hey, listen to this. How about if you've heard of these guys, you got to just know who they are because you followed a college team or followed the name. Sterling Moore, Eric Frampton, Michael Coe. I knew of him. Brian Scheffier, Robert Callaway. Ernie Sims, Brady Papagena. If you don't know those names, neither does Tony Romo because he calls them by numbers now. So Dallas Cowboys, it's going to be interesting to see how they're able to follow through and try to make a go of it. Really interesting. 7 more minutes left to go in the show, and I wanted to talk about something that was very near and dear to my heart. And if this gets out, please help get this out. But there's a young Texas cheerleader that plans an anti-bullying awareness walk on Washington. And what do I mean by that? My daughter is staging a walk. My daughter is something to really be proud of. And she's taking on bullies and the world of bullying in a big way. With her, she's got a little nonprofit organization called Abby's Pledge. And what she's done literally is trying at her age, at 10 years old, is spearhead, okay, the whole thing of bullying. And she's working on it. And she's also teaching some great lessons to some people. Her message is simple, take a pledge to stop bullying, and it says, I pledge to speak up when I see bullying and harassment. I will take notice, and I will take action. I can make a difference. Now, folks, a lot of parents get involved with things like this. This is something that is completely spearheaded. The only thing that her mother and I have helped her with is setting up a website. All the things that are in it come from the mind of a 9- and 10-year-old. Abby'sPledge.org. Get over there, check it out. It's like the Angie's List of bullying, preventing bullying. places to go for kids who need some help, whether it's suicide, or, you know, they get them to, we try to help them get to professionals. Abby is a school cheerleader as well as an all-star competitive cheerleader, and she wants it to be known that bullying is not acceptable. And she won't accept the saying that that's just the way it is, and you gotta love it. She says, isn't that what cheerleading's all about? To help people and cheer them on to happiness in life as well as their team. Now, folks, I didn't tell her to say it. Some people will say, well, you just... No, I didn't. I haven't egged her on to anything. And after seeing her sister come home one day from school after being bullied by some classmates, and then she didn't even want to go to school, she said that she's seen her upset before, but she didn't even know she was being bullied. She just hid it well. And kids are having problems with that in this new world out there. We live in a different world, and I can sit here and say it's a definitely a different world from when I was growing up. And she is taking on this cause, and she's not a, you know, she's not a kid who is insincere. That's all she is sincere. In August of 2013, we're going to put her on a plane. Well, I'm going with her. Mama or I are going to go with her, but she's taking a walk up on Washington. She's going to walk the same walk that Martin Luther King walked for a much different cause, but for a good enough cause to get some attention. She's trying to make a difference. She wanted to do something that would stand out, and she saw the perfect opportunity to do so. And she says, hey, if I walk alone, I walk alone, but I hope others will join me. And that's exactly what we're going to try to do here and try to help Abby. Get on over to abbyspledge.org. Help her by donating or whatever the case may be, or showing up. We're not even asking for money. Just show up in Washington. Yes, Washington, D.C. We'll be check the website for the dates that this is actually going to go down. We're trying to get together with some people out there to help us get this organized and get it ran. But she is taking that walk. Check out her Facebook as well. And I say this as a truly proud father, okay, that 10-year-old, this 10-year-old has got a mind of a 15, 16-year-old kid. She sees something, she goes after it, and she takes care of it. And you got to be proud as a father, and you got to be proud of what she does, and I am. I'm very proud of what she does. So head on over to abbyspledge.org. Check out some of the things. Get your kids involved with it. If your kids are having problems, they can find places where they can go to get help. And that is a good thing. So we're out. So I hope everybody has a great day. This is Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. And I'm out of here. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.